believe it or not. And I'm like, cool, that's fine. Yeah, we can go for it. And if it goes there, that's Ivan's famous words. Hey, if it goes there, if it goes there. And it's something he's taught me is hold on lightly because God is a living God. And sometimes we see in part, we know in part. And so we arrive prepped. But should he do something else, we need to be ready to follow him. I mean, I've been in meetings sometimes where I think we've missed it because we've just held the line and we've kept going. And we've gone through the proceedings of a meeting and we've fallen into a form. But in our actions and the way we've gone about it, we've actually probably missed the power of what God wanted to do on a Sunday. And so today, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm preaching on your love. I might be preaching on your love. There's a great place to preach from is actually having a revelation of your love. And I said to even Ivan, I said, I haven't had that, even in prepping. Often I would find the Lord just even as I'm prepping. It feels like, you know, Stace would walk in sometimes, my wifey, and she would go like, okay, cool, I can see, I need to leave you now. I can see there's just a moment here where God's doing something in my heart, and love those times. I'll be very honest with you in saying that did not happen this time. And so when you prep on something like this, especially receiving the Father's love, I go like, Lord, I can't work from the place of having like missing that. And I spoke to someone this week that said, I miss him. I miss him. And I want to apologize for if I get emotional, but sometimes I never cried before I got saved, huh? And then I never stopped since. And it's not because I'm scared of you, trust me. I think I have a reverence for God, and I understand how he loves me. And actually, out of this place, actually wanting to share with us that same love he loves you with. And so desperately want us to walk away with that revelation today. And I said to Ivan, I don't want to preach out of that place, man, of not having received that. And then in a time of worship like this, just with the bowing of a knee, I just want to say thank you for being obedient, man, just to be able to lead us into that. I think sometimes you can go like, oh, there's a couple of visitors, you know, let's not go there. Miss God. Jeepers, I don't want to be a part of a church like that where we start to bend to people's comforts. We're not here for our comfort. It's not where growth happens, so. It's not where growth happens. And so, I'm sorry if that was a little bit strange for you. I would say welcome to a family that is madly in love with Jesus and will obey him before we will obey man, in a sense. So, and so, this afternoon I've kind of given my intro away, haven't I? But if you're here for the past 2 weeks, if you weren't here, I want to encourage you. You can go listen to some of the messages. We do have them online. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about encouragement. And I think... for me, it was just something that it felt like it just broke open something in us to start to look at each other differently. And we looked at briefly the benefits of having Jesus in our lives now, but also having the eternal reward, something that we have to look forward to, and how we need to be able to encourage one another for the ability to endure between now and then. And it was just so incredible, just even in community, having the opportunity to start to massage this into different areas of how we journey with one another when we're encouraging and loving on one another. And then last week, Cornet, I think he hit it out the park. He preached on 1 Corinthians 14:26. If you don't know it, you're welcome to go look. Ivan alluded to it this afternoon where he said that, you know, when we come together, and actually each one of us have a significant part to play. And I want to say without you, we do not resemble the fullness of God. And so maybe you're even a visitor and you go like, yeah, but I wasn't here. I've never been here. You still have a part to play in God's kingdom. You still have a part to play. And so whilst I'm a massive advocate for actually belonging, being able to abide in Jesus and belong to a local family and then contribute to that family, certainly within the community that you live in, I do believe that actually that is what God is calling us to. And he's taking and shaping this group of people and others who are not here today. And he's starting to do something significant in us so that we can do he wants to do something significant through us and actually reaching a community. It's a lime to do that. And so as I was just preparing this and going, okay, cool, God. So we've had encouragement. We've had what it looks like when we come together and that each one has a part. And we see the importance of that. But am I the only one that sometimes arrives at church, and God's asked me to lead here amongst others, and sometimes I will be honest with you, I arrive at church and I go like, I don't know how much left I got left in the tank, to be honest. It's been a week. And so when I think of encouragement and loving on others and greeting new people and making effort and planning dinners and doing the things that we do during the week, sometimes I go like, it feels a little bit too much. Like this, you know, there's, I've also got two kids, and then you start to line up all the excuses in your head. And I go like, Lord, it's too much. Is there anyone else that feels like that, huh? Okay, three honest people. That's incredible. Thank you. You're in church, guys. Okay. And I was kind of wrestling this throughout the week. So the title of my message, and actually, maybe let me give you the scripture first, and then I'll give you the title. So we have to go a little bit further back. So we looked at 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1 of that chapter. And often you will see people actually, or pastors or teachers of the word, they work through a passage of the Bible. I don't know why we do this, but it feels like we jump ahead and then we come back. Because I see like all the things happening. You're like, wow, that's incredible. Wow, whoa. And then you go like, how? I don't know if you ever noticed that. It's like, how? How? What got them to give of themselves like that? And then you go back, and you go back, and you go back, and you go, ah, okay. Okay, there was a moment of revelation before the application came. And so whilst when I went to read through 1 Corinthians 14, 1, maybe you know your Bibles better than I do, but this was something that really resonated with me as I thought of how do we love and encourage one another in our meetings, but then even in our daily walks with one another. And it starts like this. Henry, you can put that up for me. Okay. Let love be your highest goal. It starts with that. And I was like, as I read it, I thought, ah, there it is. Let love be your highest goal. Okay, so what he's not saying is, but you should also desire the special abilities that the Spirit gives. 1 Corinthians 14, 26, so we covered last week. Okay. He's not saying that you shouldn't desire it. Those are good things. But where does it start? Let love be your highest goal. Question. How many of us came into church today and went, I cannot wait to love on people? Honestly, that's not my first thing that comes to mind. Somehow loving Jesus is maybe a little bit, and maybe that's where we start because that is the greatest command after all. But it flows out of that place, and that's what I'm hoping would be the revelation today. So the title of the message is, Let Love Be Our Highest Goal. And you might be sitting here and going, yeah, awesome, I love a preach on love. Is it, what is it, Mike? Is it going to be agape? Is it going to be, and you're like, you're already putting a title or a, and I want to say it's far greater than that. And I almost wanted to give it a definition because I think, it's a cliche saying, but we always say, God is love. It's a worldly saying, actually. But actually, at the root of it, the truth is, yes, he is. He's the definition. He's the definition of love, and we'll look at it in more detail now. But I first want to clarify: why am I preaching on this? I've given you a little bit of a track record of where we've been as a congregation. But why am I preaching on this? And so I thought I would use an illustration because I don't know if you like me, but sometimes a little bit of story helps me grab a concept. And so I'm going to use Take a Lot. Yeah, because Take a Lot, I think everyone knows. Is there anyone in here that does not know who Take a Lot is? All right. Wonderful. Hey, we love them. Sure. The truth comes out. You need to bow the knee again. And I was on there. Did anyone order anything from Take a Lot this week? Yeah, I'm guilty. That's why I'm. And so I saw that half hand, bro. What's that? You're either in or you're out. Eh? Yeah, he's returned it. Yeah. Okay, so if you've been on the website, this happened to grab my attention this week. Disclaimer: I'm not. Yeah, this will be very awkward if you work for Take a Lot. So I'm sorry if that is the case. You're more than welcome to go and speak to Ivan afterwards. The takealot.com family, this is the headline of their, I almost want to say their statement of faith, if you can put it like that. The takealot.com family lives and breathes by a set of core values that represent how we think and how we operate on a daily basis. It's interesting, even within community, we've been going through with Michal Kalista and some of the other guys here in our com, been speaking about how what we believe often determines how we think. Okay, so beliefs determine how we think, determine how we act. Okay, there's a concept. If you look at all your actions and what you go through in a day, I'll leave that with you. And there, it says it right there, lives and breathes. They live and breathe by these core values, okay, that represent how we think and how we operate. It's their actions. And I want to throw it up there quickly. Can you see that? Shame. Maybe we could kill it. It's going to take too long. I want to read it for us. But that is their values, straight below their statement of faith. And again, disclaimer, love take a lot. But it was so interesting for me. I read these values. And if you were here last week, I said, I used that that saying by Andy Stanley where he says, you know, that time, when it comes to vision, it's tough to make vision stick because time has a way of eroding the adhesive, okay? And so sometimes we take biblical values and we apply them to our lives that when there are times where it feels like vision is lacking, that we're able to walk out through biblical values that have been instilled in us, that we read within the Word, that come to life by the Spirit, okay? And so, interestingly enough, I read through these, and I'm going to read them through for them quickly if you're unable to see it. From top right, it says, diversity, we strive for a diverse, inclusive, and safe environment for all people, for all our people. Smart, dedicated, results-oriented team players, simplify, make it easier for the customer, do it. If you see a problem, find a solution. Anyway, we're going to leave it there. Individualize, okay? Forget averages. It's all about the individual. I think I took some of this from Scripture. He left the 99. He went for the one. I want to say irritate. That's not right. Iterate and innovate. Improve every day. Fast, quick decisions, decisive implementation. Fun, love what you're doing. Forthright, but respectful. And then it says wise. It's the only one that I don't agree with. It says wise, spend wisely. And then just below the company name, take a lot. Something doesn't add up there for me. but why am I mentioning this? When I saw this, I said to Stace, we've got an order coming this afternoon. This guy doesn't know what's coming for him. Because I lined up a question. So as you do when the delivery guy arrives, I started to interrogate him. And so I asked him two questions, just knowing that actually this is something of what God was starting to massage into our hearts over the past 3 weeks. I asked him a couple of questions. I said, what does your job entail? I want to ask him because I actually feel like as soon as you go there, there's no interest in the person. And I'll be very honest in saying, I asked him these two questions and I walked in and I felt God go, hey, cool, you added something to your preach, but you never spoke to him about Jesus. I'll be very honest. That was probably the most impactful. I missed the moment. Vulnerable for you. He said, I've been there 5 years. I wake up at 4:30 a.m. I do plus minus 60 deliveries in Langebaan a day. I pack my own bucky and I'm done by 2:30. I said, yeah. So now in my mind, I'm going, hardworking man. And he's driving from Cape Town. So he's not like just living here in Langebaan. And then the second question I said, could you mention one? Just one of your core values as a Take A Lot family, member of the family. Now, this guy's wearing the T-shirt. He's got the cap. The bucky's marked with everything. And I ask him this, and there's many to choose from. I think we've just read from them. And he says, look, I think that Take A Lot have got their set of values, but I've got my own. I've got my own. And I thought to myself, it's not the answer I was looking for, but it's quite profound. And as he said it, it was like, yeah, man, if that kind of thinking creeps into us as a church, that actually we can just make something that church something that it's not. We need to be careful. We need to be so careful. And it happens so easily. And Scripture's full of it. I say, we will become a self-help center. With you'll come in, you'll listen to the two songs, hopefully they'll direct you to Jesus. Someone preaches a preach, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's average. Sometimes you hear his preaching and you don't even go. And when love is no longer our highest goal, then all of a sudden we start to form biases. And the biases are based off actually what's important to you and me. So all of a sudden, if you come in and you love worship, that's why you come. It's like, oh my goodness, I heard Hans and Josie, they're on worship. I'm there, man, early. I'll lay the cables out for them. I worship all day. Or maybe you're in and you're going, I'm not used to this. Like, I've done 3 songs. It's time. I need to, like, I'm sitting. And I'm not used to this. Or maybe it comes to the building, you know. Like I said, this is both a blessing, and I also hope it never becomes a crutch to us, that we start limping in other areas. That actually building in homes and impacting our community becomes secondary to us, because now, well, we've got our own building, and so people must just come here. Kids Church. I love seeing David and Steph on Kids Church. And you know, you're laughing, you know what it's about. We need to pray for those guys. But maybe saying, oh, it's not for me. Kids Church, you know, I'll serve anywhere else, but not for me. I want to say, you're right. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's for a next generation that need to grow up in the ways of Jesus. And it's probably the most important ministry. I almost want to say we've been given ample opportunity to grow. And somehow we're like, maybe for some of us, we're taller trees with a little bit more rooting. They're young. They need to be grounded. They need biblical truth to stand on. The world is throwing everything at them. And the moment they can start making their own decisions and they move out from our home, I can tell you right now, as it was with me, the devil standing there with something wonderful. And so it becomes something that it's not. And so without love being our highest goal, I almost want to say everything that Cornelius spoke about last week, and I'm not discounting it, I think it was an incredible preach. But without the motivational factor of love, you can bring a hymn, you can bring a song, you can bring a revelation, we can bring a word. We can seem like, actually as a church, we're starting to even move in the right direction. And let's go another chapter back. 1 Corinthians 13:1. We can speak in tongues of men and of angels. We can have the gift of prophecy. We can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. We can have faith that can move mountains. We can give all we possess to the poor and give our body up to hardship that we may boast. But if we do not have love, we have nothing. We gain nothing. And actually then he uses this, and I wanted to do it today, but I couldn't find them. He says, we are basically like a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. In short, we're a noise without love. So I actually wanted to do a practical where someone would walk forward today and in a sense just share something or start to pray and then take 2 cymbals and go, whoosh. How much are you going to hear? How much are you going to be able to concentrate? And I think there's no weight to anything that is carried, because the motivation and the platform from which it's coming is shaky. It's not rooted in Jesus. We do not want to be a noise. And so I've shown you the issue. I want to share just a little bit of a testimony. We once went to help a church in Atlantis, and they were meeting in a tent in the middle of Witsand. I don't know if you know where that area is, but basically it's growing far too quickly, and so this church has met in the middle, and they saw something in Josh Jen from past member, and they said, hey man, guys, we would love if you guys could come and just build into us, come and share with us what you've learned in the Lord, and please, if you could bring a preacher or a worship guy or whatever, we would just love to have you and to learn from you. We thought, incredible, man, what an opportunity. So we went, a couple of us, we were still in Malpos those days, and we went across there and we took a couple of people, and you know that we did not need a GPS to find them. We just listened, because it was loud, like take your breath away, loud. Like we actually, and just hear me out, okay? We started to drive, and we literally were taking the route. We didn't go off track, because eventually we saw the tent, but we found it because of how loud the music was. And so we thought, you know, walking in there, you know, like, oh, geez, these guys need help. Like this, it might be okay for this culture, but reaching anyone else, this is going to be a stumbling block. We get in there, we preach a beautiful time of worship, and something starts to happen. And actually, everyone, I still remember the day, all of us sitting in a line there, we start to realize, we're not the guys getting helped here. I mean, they're not the guys getting helped here. We walked in, and yeah, sure, the music was a little bit loud. And it was one area that maybe we could do a tweak. But I can tell you, from the time that they did a finance teaching and they did it during worship and the guys started to come out and dance to the front to be able to honor God with finance, and they threw it into a thing and danced back, and everyone rejoiced as they were able to give their pennies, what they had. And then they would, it comes to the end of the service, and the guys respond, and it's this incredible time of the Lord, and we start to fellowship with one another. And then next thing we see, we're actually involved in a whole wedding ceremony where we're celebrating the engagement of someone, and we've just been roped in as part of the family. Next thing, they're washing our hands, and they're passing out food to us. And we're going like, I'm wondering, as we walk out there, we're looking at each other going, I wonder if the noise was the issue or the lack of love. Which one is bigger for the Lord? We go there, and we're the only thing that we were able to actually go, look, I think maybe the noise and a couple of the way you did things. And we go back, and we have this form of godliness. I'm not downplaying Malkbos, Josh, Jen at all. There's an incredible family that we were apart for many years. But I can tell you right now, we did not love like they loved. We did not have fellowship like they fellowshipped. It was like a whole day thing. They loved one another, and we were included in that as if we were family. So I was wondering, you know, what's more pleasing, getting the sound right or loving well? 2 Corinthians 5:13, Paul says this, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, it is for you. Excuse me. If that is the first time that you're reading that scripture, and you're probably like me the first time I read it, I go, I don't know what that means. And for me, it was incredible. I think my wife, he asked me that same question. What is it like? It's a cool scripture. What does it mean? And I want to say, if you walked into here the first time, or you've been here before, and you're wondering, what happened? Like, why were they like on their knees? Are they okay? And I want to say, if that's the case, then I want to say, yeah, it's for God as of first importance. And then there will be times where actually we meet people and we try and include, and we'll do everything that we can. Paul said, I become weak to those who are weak, that by some means I may win some. He didn't say everyone. But then he backs it up with this, and it's the second half of the verse in verse 14. For Christ's love compels us. For Christ's love compels us. And if there's a takeaway, if you want to remember anything about love being our highest goal, I want to say it's Christ's love that will compel you. It's nothing you can conjure up within yourself. It's not a spiritual gift that only some have been given. Christ's love, it comes from Him. That's the compelling element. That is the motivation. That is the driving factor of how we are supposed to love. He set the example for us. Lizelle, do you want to come and just share briefly? I asked, Lizelle shared something, and we're almost at the end. Being patient, thank you guys. Lizelle shared something on our community group. We meet during the weeks, and we have a group. If you'd like to be added, you can let us know. But she said something this week, and I thought to myself, yeah, sometimes testimony says something, 1,000 words. And so I just wanted you to hear actually what she shared, and what you lived actually, and we can take encouragement from that.
How long do I have? 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute. So I'm going to try and keep it short. When I was in grade one, we had to speech. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I said I wanted to work behind a till. All of the other kids in the class, they wanted to become teachers or doctors, and I just wanted to work behind a till. And at the parent-teacher conference, the teacher told my parents, and it was a very small town that I grew up in. My dad was the only doctor. My mom was a nurse. And I remember my mom came home that evening, and she was crying because she felt like, what are we doing with this child? Why does she want to work behind a till? And my dad, the next day, took me to Reggie's. Reggie's was still a thing at the time, and he bought me a bright red till. And he said, you know what, I love your idea. If you want to work behind a till, there's your till. So I took everything from the kitchen and they had to come and buy it back from me. So I was a very rich, loaded child. And from then on, my dad always said to me, just do what makes you happy, what makes you come alive. And I never chose psychology as a career. It actually chose me, if I look back now. So I was a first year 21 years ago, so now you can probably work out my age. And at the time, I was sitting in a class, and we were 1,000 people. And I remember looking back up. It was at Stellenbosch University, and I was looking up at 1,000 people. And I realized, okay, cool, I must just enjoy it. I don't think I'm going to get further than that because this is my competition. And if you want to get into your master's one day, they take 5 people. And and then it happened. For some reason, God just kept on pushing me in that direction. And eventually, I went into psychology, and I went down a really dark hole where I realized, shucks, you can't bring God into psychology. And it's a very ungrateful thing, actually. So you can work with someone, but nobody ever comes to you and you ask them, how are you? Nobody's ever going to say, awesome, and you. So people are there because they want to complain. And then you walk a journey with them, and a year later you see them in town, and they can't run away fast enough because they don't want to see you. They don't want you to say, how are you, or are you okay? Or so it was very ungrateful. And during my time in psychology, I lost one of my best friends to suicide. So she was a clinical psychologist, and she shot herself. And I know she wasn't close to God when she did it, but in my heart of hearts, I knew that she knows God, and God knows her. And one of my other best friends became a professor in psychology before his 30th birthday. And he also became the biggest atheist that I know. And he also went away, and I was thinking, God, why am I in such a dark career? I didn't choose this. I just wanted to work behind a till. Like, I didn't ask for this. And long story short, I said to Mike and Stacey were on their way, I think, to Eiserfontein, and out of nowhere, Mike sent me a message to ask, how's it going? And it was during a week where I felt like, this is it, I'm bowing out, I'm leaving. Because stuff happened at work where I felt like God is not welcome in this place. And God can't bless this place if we mock him. And there was some mocking going on that week. And I said to Mike, I don't know, I feel like going, but if I go, then the light's going to leave. And not to say I'm the only light in there, but I think we're about 3. And if I go, who's going to shine the light? So it was always in the back of my mind, just stay and shine a light. But Mike was the only one that I told it to. And last week, so I lecture at Stellenbosch University as well to the clinical master students just before they go into their exams. And actually just before they go into the real world and learn what it's all about. And the topic they gave me was a very dark topic. So we spoke about the dark triad of personality. So it's basically toxic personality, narcissism, psychopathy, Machiavellianism, all of those stuff. And I left Langebaan with a very dark cloud over my head because I knew I'm going to take them now down this dark hole, but will I be able to pull them out again? And as I was driving there, the road was just wide open. And Lynette said afterwards, she prayed for me on the road. And like the road was just wide open, and I got there early this time. And I was sitting there, and I was looking at the M students. Like, they're not a lot, small one. And I decided I'm not going to stand in front and lecture. I'm just going to sit between them, and we'll just speak. So we went down the what I call the rabbit hole again. And we did it, and afterwards there were some Q&A sessions, and they were asking me about some real-life examples, and so, Lizelle, you've assessed this person, so you've seen their profile, you did the feedback, what came out of there, and. So we did a lot of that. And then there was one girl, so she was sitting in the second row from the front to the left, but dressed all in black. And I remember I kept feeling, like, pulled towards her, but I didn't have time to specifically like go to her, so I just did my thing. And afterwards she put up her hand and she said, I don't have any questions. I just want to say something. And she said, thank you for the light. And I realized that even though I walked in there in a dark mind, I was just it wasn't me, it was God. So God's light can still shine. And yes. I'm 40 next month, and I'm still not working behind the till, but I am somehow able to shine God's light where I am. And yeah, and that was just my story.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah, like serving coffee. We will get a till for you, huh? I think incredible. You know, that's not the only trial. That wasn't one story. It was incredible to actually see how she persevered. And you know, though faced with trials, it was an opportunity, actually, to be able to shine. And I think just based off the topic of what we feel God is saying to us today about love being our highest goal, that is the ability to shine. The fact that Christ's love in you gives you the ability to shine. He said, that is how you will know. They will know by your love. It's the ability to be able to shine. And so why I asked her to share that is personally because of the testimony that helps us overcome. And maybe you're sitting here today and you actually also are facing things where it feels like it's easier. I just tap out. Like, I've got another option. There's always another way. Just tap out. I want to encourage you. Tap in. Tap in. Abide in Him. Tap in to the vine. In Him you bear fruit. Maybe just to end with this. You might be sitting here and you're saying, how? How? We've spoken about the why. How do I love people? I want to say I'm with you in it, eh? Auntie Lynn and I were speaking this week. We share this. I might be the pastor, but I can say, this is how I know God is real, because He's changed my heart. Because there was a stage where I was very happy alone. I might be able to stand up here and share, and I actually love being with people now. But I didn't always enjoy it. I loved hanging around those I know and I love and like and share interest with. But when it comes into this, very seldom do I find that I have everything in common with everyone. So how does that work? Now I need to choose a church where people are like me. No. I want to say, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you want to become more like Jesus, surround yourself with people that will challenge you. That will challenge you and sharpen you. Not just like-minded people. You cannot love them, actually, without first receiving the Father's love. And I think this is actually where we want to end. I think this is what the Lord has actually been drawing this whole time to. And I feel like it's an opportunity to actually, for some, if you would like to, just to respond, to receive some prayer. So I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you to the front. I think actually where you are in your seats, if you're honest with yourself and you could feel like, oh, God, actually, I need that revelation. I need a touch from you again. I feel like even I've been wearing the T-shirt and the cap like the Take A Lot driver. I've arrived, but I've lost my core value. I've lost the motivational factor, the foundation for actually why I'm here. And that's to love you, God, and to love others. And you sat here and you're kind of like aiming, punching at the air, as Paul would say. And actually, He needs to just come and fill you again. I love the scripture. I said it in prayer meeting, but He says, I read it this morning and it just spoke volumes. You know, when you read a scripture a couple of times and then all of a sudden, just one time, and it's just like, whoa, never seen it like that, God. And He says, He pours His love into you, those who have received His Spirit. And we are supposed to be conduits for the kingdom. Whilst we are being poured into, we pour out into others. We do not become blocked drains that start to stink, but actually we have fresh revelation of who God is and His love for us, and we pour out into others. And as we do that, we feel like come alive. We come alive. And I'm trusting that that's what God will do in our hearts today. And I believe He can do it in a prayer. Bah! As we pray for one another. Okay. Maybe let's close our eyes. Maybe Hans, you can jump on.